Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Apoorva Bhatt.
And I'm Mona Hosseini. Here are some of the stories we're following for you this morning from the On the Record newsroom. The federal government has announced an additional $15 billion to its current $40 billion apartment construction loan program. On Wednesday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau unveiled Canada Builds initiative to address the country's housing crisis. It provides low-cost loans that help speed up developments of the necessary scale to boost the number of rental units Canada-wide. Trudeau says that he will fund and partner up with ambitious provinces and municipalities that cooperate and meet the criteria set out by the federal government.
Nearly 600 stolen cars have been recovered by police forces at Montreal Port since December 2023. More than a dozen police forces from Ontario and Quebec took part in the operation known as Project Vector. According to the Ontario Provincial Police and Canada Border Services Agency, 483 recovered cars were from Ontario and 115 were from Quebec. As per the OPP, primary vehicles being targeted were newer vehicles, including high-end pickup trucks and SUVs.
A total solar eclipse is upon us on Monday, April 8. Solar eclipses aren't rare, but NASA's lead eclipse expert says it is rare to be in that 1% of the Earth's surface that experiences totality. Niagara Falls is one of the few Canadian spots in that path. The city is expecting more than a million visitors and has already declared a state of emergency. Scientists say the eclipse could last up to 4 minutes and 28 seconds. NASA urges the public to be equipped with certified eclipse glasses. Otherwise, there is a risk of severe retina damage.
On Wednesday, Premier Doug Ford responded to Dr. Kieran Moore, Ontario's Chief Medical Officer of Health's recommendations for the province's alcohol and substance use legislation. In his annual report released last week, Moore called on the province to raise Ontario's drinking age from 19 to 21 and decriminalize simple possession of unregulated drugs for personal use. Ford has said, quote, "I'll always support Dr. Moore and the job he's doing. Do we disagree? Yes, we disagree." Ford's argument is based on the premise that if one is old enough to serve in the military, they're old enough to have a beer.
And now, some news from a bit closer to campus. New research from TMU on using artificial intelligence to assess cancerous breast tissue is showing signs of success. Led by Professor April Khademi, the team has designed a custom AI tool to help pathologists deliver more accurate and efficient assessments of cancerous tissue and tumors. After rigorous testing, the tool proved that AI assistance can enhance tissue assessments by improving scoring accuracy and turnaround time for pathologists. For patients, this could mean faster and more reliable and patient-specific treatment options. While the goal of this research focuses on the assessment stage, Khademi says their ultimate goal is to enhance treatment planning and patient outcomes.
Could Mozart and Beethoven be your perfect study buddies this final season? Here is Ishita Chopra with more on the impact classical music may have on your studying habits.
As the final season approaches, many students are in search for finding that one perfect thing that's going to help them concentrate. And for some, that answer lies in classical music.
Currently, there are dozens of playlists on Spotify associated with classical music and studying. In fact, one of the playlists has garnered more than 44,000 monthly listeners. So what makes classical music a great study buddy for students? For Sita Hamidova, a fourth-year student, the movie Romeo and Juliet sparked her interest in classical music.
I know the first time that I heard a classical music that I really liked and that kind of sparked the interest in classical music in general, it was from a movie, Romeo and Juliet. A little quirky, a little, just that kind of vibe. And I was like, oh, this is a great vibe. I really like how the sounds and like the vibe to it in general. I was listening to it while I was working. I realized that my focus is, I had I was able to focus more on my work than when I was listening to like other types of songs or like other genres. And I was like, this is great. I might as well just keep doing it.
According to a study conducted by Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, a British symphony orchestra, 75% of students who are preparing for exams prefer listening to classical music. For Ria Kapoor, a student at the University of Toronto, listening to classical music helps her concentrate.
Well, I study English literature, so when I am doing English papers or reading the book for it, I prefer listening to classical music, partly because it doesn't have any lyrics, so I get less distracted. And I also think it creates like that atmosphere and mood for me to be like engrossed in the book while I'm reading it or writing about it.
As we enter into the last days of classes, Sean Belavedi, an adjunct professor at TMU, asks students to listen to music that encourages them to study.
If I had to hazard a guess, I'd say that if a student found a music that puts you in the right space, gets you excited, keeps you going, then that's the music that you should listen to when you're trying to concentrate.
So whether it's Mozart or Florence Prince, OTR has prepared for you an ultimate classical study music playlist. So give it a chance this final season.
This is Ishita Chopra for On the Record. Back to you in the studio.
If you're looking for something fun to do this weekend and love anime, the Studio Ghibli pop-up in North York might just be for you. Here is Navi Kalan with more.
For fans of Studio Ghibli movies and those looking for something fun to do next weekend, Whimsical Twist is hosting a Studio Ghibli fan pop-up convention at the Japanese Canadian Cultural Center in North York from April 13 to April 14. The convention features over 30 local artists and vendors, including food and merchandise vendors, with activities to do for all ages, including pottery activities, Studio Ghibli-inspired tea, face painting performances, and more. Admission for children 12 and under is free, while tickets for those 13 plus range from $12 to $33, with certain activities costing more. OTR was able to talk with a few vendors about their merchandise, the event, and what ticket holders can expect.
You can expect anything from stickers, prints, keychains, enamel pins. For me, I sell a lot of sticker prints, sticker sheets, and I have a limited edition run of like these water bottles and tote bags.
At our booth, we particularly sell lenticular stickers. Mm-hmm. So depending on the angle that you view them from, it'll be different. They're all waterproof, and you can expect an array of course, Studio Ghibli items, but a lot of anime, a lot of just nostalgia, pop culture. Kind of things as well, as well as like comics and superheroes.
So for me, I prioritize mainly in jewelry, and everything I do is origami jewelry. So everything is handmade and designed by me. It'll be set up like a little bit like a general market. Like if you've seen the ones happening downtown, like Tutu's to Spadina or like Toronto Art Crawl or any of those ones, it'll be set up the same exact way, or like Kensington Market. Yeah.
Sorry. I sell original prints of the artwork that I like to do. And I will also be offering custom watercolor portraits that are done within 5 to 10 minutes. A lot of my artwork is also inspired by Studio Ghibli and East Asian culture. So because it revolves around the same kind of themes that Studio Ghibli has in a lot of their movies.
I started doing stuff that's kind of inspired by like some fan work, like Howl's Moving Castle and like Kiki's Delivery Service, because I really liked those films. And I think a lot of people resonated with what was going on with those particular characters and their relationships.
You know, we are very excited for the event in a couple weeks. Kim usually throws, you know, great events, really a great time for all ages, whether, you know, you're just a longtime fan or you want to bring your whole family as an outing. I would expect great food, lots of great vendors. Just be sure to go around, see everyone, and just, you know, say hi.
Fans will be able to purchase food inspired by Studio Ghibli films, partake in a costume contest, and much more. Tickets can be purchased at eventbrite.ca for the event. This is Navi Kellon with On the Record.
Spring is coming, and with it, hopefully, is a delicious variety of freshly grown Canadian food. Here to tell us about the changing ways Ontario farmers sell their products is Calum Deneau.
Ontario farms are finding new and innovative ways to sell their products, including through delivery services called Community Supported Agriculture, or CSAs. Still, farms in Ontario are threatened by economic pressure.
Tori Warner, a farmer in the Niagara region, said Ontario farms are unable to match the prices of most grocery stores, which import their crops from countries with lower labor costs. This is the sentiment shared by Lisa Cooper, co-founder of Cooper's Farm, who added Ontario farmers are also taxed significantly more and have higher input costs.
They allow strawberries to come up during the height of our strawberry season in California and be sold for $1.99 a quart. We can't grow them for $1.99 a quart up here. We can't do it.
A 2021 report by Statistics Canada found the average age of Canadian farmers is 56 years old, and Warren said the industry is losing farmers every year. He believes there are less than 100 independent fruit farmers in Ontario, and he said if we keep losing them, the industry will collapse. According to Catherine Clark, Executive Director at Farmers Market Ontario, CSAs work when customers pre-order a certain amount of food, which is then put aside for them every week. Customers have the option of picking up their order directly or paying extra for it to be delivered.
In big cities like Toronto, farmers markets are finding other ways to stay fresh in the eyes of customers. Leslie Stoyan, co-founder of Apple Tree Markets, said her company changed its approach entirely in order to meet the demands of Toronto shoppers.
Rather than just selling raw crops and meat, Stoyan's markets changed towards becoming farm-to-table restaurants in the GTA, with a focus on being community centers where people can socialize.
A larger percentage of the population wants the enhanced experience. That you can only get with a farmer's market.
I'm Cam Deneau with On the Record, and that's all for me. Back to the studio.
The Art Gallery of Ontario remains temporarily closed due to labor disruption. Benoit Gunneau has more.
Hundreds of AGO workers continue on the picket line this week. They're advocating for better working conditions for precarious part-time workers. Megan Christou works at AGO and is a steward for Local 535 with OPSU. She says that over 60% of their union membership is part-time.
So that means no, guaranteed shifts necessarily, no benefits, no paid sick days, no vacation time, no maternity leave. So we're really fighting for those people here today, and I'm one of them.
But Christou says the strike is about more than just the employees' wages or benefits.
And the conversations that the employees were having, especially at even the town halls we have internally in this building, were we do not feel respected, we do not feel appreciated, and we do not feel that you actually value us as your workers that do all the labor to make this building run.
Charles Ayudu, Vice President of Local 535 at OPSU, says for real change to be seen, it's important to get public engagement.
We need to make enough noise for them to hear what it is that is going on and what the people are saying and how the people are feeling and how those things can be changed, and the public engagement is number one.
Mark Thornberry, Event Setup Coordinator at AGO, says full-time employment at the gallery has diminished
and has been replaced by occasional part-timers and by having jobs that could be done by employees of the AGO contracted out to outside people.
Union members recently voted to reject the gallery's most recent contract offer after months of bargaining. They hope to receive a new offer in the coming weeks.
And if we get a deal over the next week, 2-3 weeks even, our next contract, this contract will be up in about 20 months. So we've had an enormous amount of back and forth, and it seems that they don't take us seriously, and we called their bluff, and here we are.
In an email statement, Andrea Jo Wilson, Public Relations Manager at AGO, said, "The AGO is hopeful that we will reach a negotiated agreement with OPSU soon, and remains ready to negotiate and fully available to work constructively with employee representatives to reach a reasonable and fair agreement." Operational updates will be made available at ago.ca. For OTR News, I'm Ben Wageno.
In the wake of a rising number of protests in Toronto, a local legal organization has launched a podcast to inform Ontarians of their rights. Scott Martin has the story.
It's been impossible to ignore the large-scale protests that have been happening in Toronto lately. Many of these are first-time protesters experiencing a different side of the legal system and police. At a press conference on April 1st, pro-Palestinian organizers condemned the actions of the Toronto Police Services at a weekend demonstration.
And I was grabbed by my head, pushed over the police line, forcibly thrown to the ground, and I just felt several bodies on top of me.
Another attendee said he was grabbed and assaulted by police, and that the police stepped on his hearing aid. These accounts raise the importance of knowing your legal rights. Council Call, a new podcast launched by the Community Justice Collective in Toronto, is teaching people their legal rights and how to apply them. On the Record spoke with co-hosts Aliyah Pabani and Seema Atri about the project and what people need to know.
There's limitations to simply knowing what your rights are. It's about practicing them and the intricacies of practicing them in different contexts.
In the first episode, Atri, a lawyer with the CJC, discusses some key points about what to do if you're contacted by police.
The police might not share truthful information in order to try to get you to talk. So anything you say to them can be used as evidence, and that's often the reason they're reaching out.
Police officers are only allowed in your residence with a warrant or if someone else on the property allows them in. The only type of warrant that allows entry into your property is called a Feeney warrant. Atri said the warrant needs to have Feeney on it and be signed by a judge. If you get detained or arrested, you have to tell the police your name, address, and date of birth only, according to Pringle Law, a criminal defense firm. Other than that information, you have the right to remain silent in Canada. Then, contact a lawyer as soon as you can. Atri and Pabani also want to make it clear that, in their experience, the police are not always strictly following what the law allows them to do. So, if you go out, make sure you have documentation.
In the legal context, I think of rights more as a defensive tactic we can use to try to defend people after the fact.
Council Call plans to have more episodes released in the future that delve into the details. But with the rising number of protests, it's crucial to know the rights provided to Canadian citizens. After all, protests are unlikely to stop anytime soon. For On the Record News, I'm Scott Martin.
And in sports news, the Rogers Centre will look very different for the Blue Jays' home opener this year. To tell you more about it, here's Tyler Prosek.
The Toronto Blue Jays will open the season this Monday, April 8th. The Jays will look different on and off the field as fans are welcomed to the newly renovated Rogers Centre.
Busy offseason throughout the organization included plenty of change. Along with some personnel changes, the team will unveil a complete remodel of the lower bowl of the Rogers Centre. This remodel of the building that was first completed in 1989 aimed to create a more ballpark atmosphere, slightly different from the multi-purpose facility it has been used as in the past. The lower bowl renovation is a part of the second phase of the renovations. The first phase included the upper level of the stadium getting a complete makeover as well. In phase two, the team has the lower bowl seats arranged to be facing toward the action, while also bringing fans closer to the game, removing 3,000 square feet of foul territory. Blue Jays fans experienced phase one of the renovations last season after it was completed in April 2023. These renovations were originally planned to be about $300 million. Blue Jays president and CEO Mark Shapiro spoke to the media in March and said that the renovations cost will be just under $400 million when it is fully complete. The Blue Jays have also updated their menu items, adding featured food and drink options this year. Fans will be able to enjoy the new hot maple bacon hot dog, various bowls and wraps, stuffed Jamaican patties, as well as plenty of new drinks that include both alcoholic and non-alcoholic options.
If you're headed to the Rogers Centre for the opener, the first 45,000 fans will receive a Blue Jays rally towel. For On the Record, I'm Tyler Prosek.
In addition to the Rogers Centre renovations, it's been a busy week in the world of sports. To bring you the latest, here's Matt Sheridan.
Thanks, Mon and Apurva.
Austin Matthews, the NHL's current leading scorer, notched his 60th goal of the season on Saturday against the Buffalo Sabres. The Maple Leafs forward became just the ninth player in NHL history to have multiple 60-goal seasons. His tally helped lead his team to a 3-0 victory over the struggling Sabres, keeping the Leafs in the hunt for first place in the Atlantic Division. With less than 10 games left in the regular season, Matthews is the heavy favorite to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, awarded to the NHL's regular season goal-scoring leader. Yenesis Cabrera, a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, has been fined and suspended for 2 games as a result of an on-field incident that occurred Saturday against the Tampa Bay Rays. After a throwout at third base to end the 7th inning, Rays shortstop Jose Caballero's momentum carried him into Cabrera. Shortly after exchanging a few words, Cabrera shoved Caballero in the jaw, which resulted in both benches clearing onto the field. Cabrera appealed the original suspension of 3 games and can rejoin the team after the suspension has been served. The OHL Cup Final was hosted this past weekend at the Mattamy Athletic Center, with the Oakville Rangers beating the Vaughan Kings 1-0. In a back-and-forth match that saw each team exchange scoring chances, the lone goal of the game came off the stick of Rangers forward Matthew Ross. With the win, the Rangers became the first non-GTHL team in the last 8 years to take home the gold medal. This event was the last opportunity for players who are eligible for the OHL draft to showcase themselves to teams before they hope to hear their name called. With many players on each squad projected to go high in the upcoming draft, it was projected number one overall pick Ethan Belchitz, who took home tournament MVP after finishing with 11 points in 8 games played. That's all we have for sports this week. Back to you in the studio.
From artificial intelligence to Beyonce winning big, here's Lynette George with your entertainment news.
Hello everyone, I'm Lynette George and here are your entertainment updates for the week. Summer is definitely not here yet, but it's already shaping up to be pretty amazing because Snoop Dogg is coming to Canada. The musical icon is heading to major cities all across the country as part of his Cali to Canada tour, kicking it off in Halifax on June 3rd. The rapper will be in Toronto on June 12th, performing at Scotiabank Arena, and ending his tour on the 25th in Vancouver. Keep an eye out because tickets go on sale today. Music remains thriving this week as Beyoncé took home the Innovator Award at the iHeartRadio Music Awards. Stevie Wonder presented the accolade to Beyoncé, highlighting her cultural impact and her continuing craftsmanship. Queen Bee just released her newest masterpiece in the form of her country album, Cowboy Carter. As expected, it broke records instantly, becoming Spotify's most streamed album in a single day in 2024. Lastly, for this week, over 200 musicians signed an open letter to various AI developers and tech companies requesting that their creative rights remain protected. Submitted by the Artists' Rights Alliance nonprofit, the letter stated that the assault on human creativity must be stopped, highlighting how artificial intelligence could destroy the music ecosystem. Billie Eilish, Nicki Minaj, and Katy Perry are just some of the few signatories on the letter that is available to read on Medium. That is all for entertainment this week. I'm Lynette George from On The Record News. Back to you in the studio.
Can't decide whether to stay in or go out? Ishita Chopra is here with the weather report to help you plan your week.
Hello everyone, my name is Ishita Chopra, and thank you for joining me today for the weather report. You think Torontonians would have had enough of the snow, but there is still a 30% chance of flurries or rain showers throughout today. We are seeing the highs of 6 degrees and the lows of 1 degree. The surrounding areas are looking similar, with Mississauga at 6 degrees, Brampton slightly dips to 5 degrees along with Kitchener and Guelph. But as they say, what comes down has to come up, and I'm happy to say that applies to the upcoming weather too. Tomorrow we are seeing the highs of 9 degrees and lows of 2 degrees. It is expected to be a mix of sun and cloud. On Sunday we are seeing the sun with the highs of 9 degrees and the lows of 3 degrees. On Monday the sun is still just slightly peeking out as we see another day of mix of sun and cloud. But make sure to keep your solar eclipse glasses handy though, as the sun is going to be overshadowed by the moon. We are expected to enjoy another day of 9 degrees and lows of 5 degrees, followed by Tuesday with the high of 12 degrees and lows of 6 degrees. And finally, on Wednesday, we are officially feeling the heat, not from the final exam season approaching, but the 13 degrees in the day and 8 degrees being the lowest. Remember that these forecasts are subjected to be unpredictable, just like the city. Thank you for joining me for the weather report. I'm Ishita Chopra. Back to you, Mana and Apurva, in the studio.
That's all for us on The Record this April 5th. I'm Mana Hosseini.
And I'm Apurva Putt. Join us for On The Record next week as we round out the latest stories from the OTR newsroom. Have a great day!